Hi, my name is Roma Gray from Connors Quay Nomads, and you're listening to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast.
Three, that's a magic number. It is, it's the magic number. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three, they stubborn me, and that's a magic number.
Three sides in the title race going for 3 points to keep the entertainment up this weekend. Welcome to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Weber and Jonah. To be fair, it's exciting wherever you look down that Welsh Premier League these days. Comment from all corners of the league and the land. Jonah, we have to say first though, it's a menage a trois. Let's enjoy it while we can, because let's be honest, it's not going to last forever, this three-way chase, is it?
Perhaps not. Perhaps Ballard will join it. I mean, is it a four-way chase? There was a couple of their fans saying to me on Saturday evening when we did the live game there for Scorio that they haven't played as well as they thought they could have this season, and they're only 3 points away. So, you know, perhaps it's a four-horse race. It's definitely a three-horse race at the moment, Mark, and there's no denying it. That Connors Quay are top, Barry are second on goal average, and there's only 2 points in it going to TNS, so nobody can deny it. There's a race on, mate, and long may it last.
Well, you've talked about the big game coming this weekend, the top two meeting, and we're not mentioning TNS. We're talking about Connors Quay and Barry.
Andy, 6-0, great result today.
3 points, clean sheet, and 6 goals. You know, you're always pleased with that. Game on, game on, game now. We're creating more chances than we have done, you know, in my time at the club. You know, we've always been a very disciplined, organised, very pragmatic in our approach to games, and with exceptional set plays. You know, today I thought you saw set plays that were very good, but also the ability to move the ball and create overloads and crossing opportunities and third man runs, and just really, really pleased with it. You know, we're going in the right direction. We're training really, really hard, and we're really intense, and the players are aware of where we need to improve. We're aware of where we need to be more clinical and better quality, and sometimes down to decision making, you know. And then getting our runs right on the crosses that we put into the box. We're improving week on week, and we're getting better, and the lads are embracing it.
Macaulay Southam Hales, 2-1 victory over Llandudno. Barrytown United joint top of the league.
Who would have thought that, eh? As you said, we played the right way. It's always going to be tough out here today. They obviously done us last time up there, 2-0. So we always had it in the back of our mind, not just where we go in the league, but first thing, get the job done today. Set it up for next week, a big game then. Makes it even bigger top. So
I understand it's 15 years since Kenny Brown's Barrytown were top of the league. So this club's come a long, long way, isn't it, in the past few years?
It has, yeah. You can see day in, day out, we're working. Gav's got the right philosophy, got us all playing the right way. And he's brought in good lads. That's the main thing. It's a good change room. And when you've got a good change room, it all takes on from there then. You know what you're going up there to expect. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. But I think we can play football. We can also mix it up with the big boys up there, as we've shown this season down here with them. It's going to be tough, don't get me wrong, but we've got a good bunch of lads playing the right way. Confident at the moment, so who knows what we can get up there.
Funny to say that they're the top two. It's sounding a bit odd already. But let's focus on this game first off. Connors Quay bashing Llanelli for 6. They like playing at home, and I think for goal difference sake, if they are going to progress in this league and keep that top spot, they've got to put a few past Barry this weekend as well, haven't they? They can't just settle with a 2-1. I mean, I'm not saying they'll get it, but I'm saying they'll have to go for more goals.
I think Andy Morrison and Jay Caton and Craig, obviously Craig Harrison, would settle for 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, anything to be honest, Matt, because Barry are on a decent run. Barry are a good team. They're not up there for, you know, no reason. There's 13 games gone now, and they're right up there. So I think they'll take any win at all, because they beat them. They beat them, didn't they? I was either 2 or 3-0. We can check that out later. 2 or 3-0 at home. When Barry have already defeated Connors Quay at Jenner Park, so Connors Quay will be looking for revenge on the first game, and it's a top of the league clash, and nobody thought would be a top of the league clash at this stage of the season. So no, on this Saturday, Mark, I don't think Andy or anybody else at Connors Quay will worry about goals, or anybody at Barry will worry about goals. I think Gav Chesterfield and his coaching staff would love it. They would take a point. They would love to take a point from Connors Quay. 3 points would be even better. But Connors Quay will go for 3 points. But the goals, I don't think, will come into it this Saturday, mate.
Just to say, I'm suffering for the art of this podcast. If you can hear banging in the background, it's because I'm recording this on Fireworks Day outside. I thought, you know, there's fireworks in the league. We may as well add a few fireworks sound effects to the actual podcast, Jonah.
Well, you know what it's like, Magda Welsh, if we don't stop anywhere with the expenses for this programme, so thank you very much for the fireworks.
Now, back to Barry. What sort of side are they without Moudou Touré?
I think Moudou Touré's just increased their goal-scoring ability. They have got good goal scorers. I was thinking about this. I thought you may bring this up, Mark. And basically, Mark, if you bring somebody in who's a better player, it just increases the competition and it makes the other players play better. I was at the game yesterday. I seen Jonathan Hurd a little bit unlucky getting a goal disallowed, but it looked like Kane was in the goalkeeper's way with a volley. McGlaggan Kane's got on the score sheet with a penalty and he's trying to score all the time. Touré looks like he could score at any time. So Cottrell gets his goals around about the area. You know, you've got the likes of Drew for Hire and company on the bench. So their competition for places up the top has really increased. And that could be key, Mark, in their challenge. You know, if one person's not getting in amongst the goals, there's three or four others who's on the bench and they're desperate to get on and prove their worth. So I think he's boxed really clever there, Gavin, in bringing Touré in. And it has been a great success so far.
But hold on a minute. What I have to say is, surely if Moudou carries on the way he is, he's going to attract the attention of Newport County. They're going to want him back, especially if County start undergoing some sort of a wobble now and they miss out on, you know, it looks like they might be edging out of the playoffs or the top three. They're going to want him back, aren't they?
Yeah, well, if they want him back, I think Barry would be disappointed, but Barry would show to any other professional club that the Welsh Premier League can bring on young professional players playing in real games, not reserve games. You know, I'm not knocking the reserves, but, you know, I'm just saying to, you know, these are real-life games where you've got to win, you've got to beat your opponent, and you're playing for points, you're not playing for just, you know, for fitness or anything like that. But, yeah, if Modo had to go back, they might be disappointed, Barry, but, you know, he's done a great job in coming to him and keeping him in a title race. But you tell Kane McGlaggan, you tell three or four of the other Barry strikers, they're itching to get back in and get the main spot. Kane's been playing a little bit wide, but I know Kane personally, he wants that number 9 shirt back, and there'll be a good battle between them. So as it worked, yeah, it's worked definitely bringing him in. If he goes back as it worked, it's worked because Barry have helped enhance the boy's career.
Now, there were some very happy people beside the seaside last Friday when Aberystwyth beat TNS. And the man who did it, Jonah, we'll hear from Neville Powell in a minute, but the man who did it, Lee Jenkins, come up from the youth setup. Is there an element of, because he was one of the young starters, that perhaps TNS didn't know about him that much? Or has he taken his opportunity really well there?
Well, he's ghosted in on the back post, haven't he, and stuck the ball in the back of the net. But he's kind of, like you said, this is exactly what a couple, you know, every club needs this, you know, one, two, three players coming through, little groups. You know, you've got Matty Jones, haven't you, in there as well. He's getting in amongst the goals from, he's playing every game. So Nev and Gavin Allen, they've got a squad gathered together, you know, of people who've played in the league with experience. But luckily enough, and they've done a good job, they've brought in three or four youngsters. Now, every club, it's ideal then. It keeps the locals happy, it keeps committees happy. And if they start paying off, you know, real bonuses. And young Jenkins, it's great. This, look, I think he's 17. I think he's only been 17 about 3 or 4 weeks. He gets the winner against TNS. Fantastic. You know, and hey, well done to the Nev and Abba for chucking him in.
And of course, 50th anniversary of the Aberystwyth Youth League, I think, this week. They were celebrating that on the pitch before. He is a classic example of why that league, that youth structure works, perhaps. Now, let's listen to Nev Powell from Aberystwyth first. I forgot about him.
Every one of them was superb. You know, it wasn't a fluke, that result. I think sometimes you come in and see TNS have been beaten, you think it's they've had a bit of luck, the other team. But as you say, we fully deserved that result tonight. Everyone to a man was superb. They all done their jobs. On another day, we could have had another two or three goals. So, outstanding performance. But at the end of the day, it's only 3 points, and it gets us onto 20 points and closer to where we need to be by January.
So, we've now knocked TNS down the pecking order of this podcast because of that Aberystwyth defeat. And here they go, they're off to Carnarvon. And we know the rule, don't we? TNS lose a game, and then whoever they play the week after, they absolutely thump.
Yeah, I think it's at Park Hall as well, by the way. So it's going to be one hell of a task for Carnarvon to get anything at Park Hall against TNS. And you are right, Mark, that's usually what happens. They don't slip to many defeats, TNS. They come back stronger, and they have to come back stronger now. You know, every game is vital now, as we know. It's still Fortress Park Hall. You know, they have lost two or three on the road this year, but there's no doubt they're still Fortress Park Hall. And were Carnarvon to get anything from Park Hall this weekend, it'd be a magnificent point for them. They've had a couple of, dodgy results in the last couple of weeks, Carnarvon, so they'll have to just get themselves together on Saturday. By the way, it's not often we talk on podcast, Mark, about fullbacks getting hat-tricks and being on the losing side. Nathan Craig, he has to be unlucky. Nathan, it's three goals and you're on the losing side. But, Carnarvon, it's a tough place to go Friday night, like you said. But how unpredictable has this league been this year? I don't think anything's guaranteed.
No, indeed. Before we go on to who Carmarthen face, of course, did beat Carnarvon last weekend, as you rightly mentioned. One question about Carnarvon. Carnarvon, fantastic at home. Absolutely not so good away. Is it their away form that's going to stop them from being in the top six?
It could be. But listen, it's their first year back in, right? They're doing really, really well. So, you know, we don't want anybody to start, you know, knocking them. They've done fantastic coming in. And by the way, I was at the Cardiff Met when they beat Cardiff Met 1-0. So, that you know, they are capable of winning on the road. It's just I think they suffered a couple of key injuries at the moment. Look, we all know, Mark, I think we were all buzzing two or three weeks ago about the boy Brookwell. He was starting to rip this league up a bit down our left-hand side. And, tongues were wagging, how good is he, where's he from? All of a sudden, he gets hamstring, and it's knocked the team a bit. He's an out ball. That's what they, you know, in the football terms, he was an out ball. He could run people, and defences playing high, he was getting in behind them and causing havoc. So they've definitely missed him. If they get him back, and, everybody says, Mark, right, one player doesn't make a team. But when you have a player in red-hot form, it does dent your form, it dents... Dents the mood in the camp if your star man is out for a few weeks. So they'll be itching to get Danny Brookwell back in.
Well, after beating Cardiff Met last weekend, the game I know you watched, Jonah, it's a trip away to Llandudno now for Bala, who will definitely want momentum off that win. Look, before we have a chat about that game, let's hear from Chris Venables after that Bala Met game.
All teams now have been beaten and a couple of times, so a bit unpredictable. It's exciting, obviously, for the fans and the onlookers, but, from our perspective, we're looking to now string together a run of results and get challenging for the top spots.
Henry Jones is back, and you wonder if that's the spark for them to return to consistently winning.
Henry did well Saturday. He got on the ball in the first half a lot, and they were relatively outplayed in the first half after going 1-0 ahead. But I'm sure the team talks were interesting. We said this Saturday evening. Collins' team pushed up a little bit more and closed Cardiff Met down in midfield in the second half, and they just won the battle and it ended out, you know, good 3-0 winners. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, Bala. Like we said, look, the talk is when you're at this high in the league, Mark. If you're at, don't know whether I've ever been lucky enough. Yeah, we finished third 1 year with Port Talbot, but when you get that high, your team talk is almost done because the league table tells you, right, boys, we got to go and get a win. It's brilliant. Once you're in the race, you're in the race. Your momentum keeps going. But it's a tough place to go. A tough place to go for Bala Llandudno. I watched Llandudno against Barry on Sunday. Pearson got sent off, which most probably cost them. And they were playing well at 1-0. Barry had plenty of chances. They got it back to 1-1, and they eventually went on to win, like we said, 2-1. But a lot of sending offs in this league at the moment. And I've yet to say the old saying, oh, we played better when we went down to 10 men. 99, I reckon over 90% of teams go down to 10 men, get beat. So the red card is some of the sending offs, right? Sometimes, you know, you don't think they hurt your club or hurt your team. You check out the results when people have been sent off. There's not many winners when you lose a man.
There's the follow-up to that, of course, isn't there? Because there'll be a suspension the next time. Why are all these red cards happening then, Jodah?
There's no doubt, right? They're saying it in our league. If you watch Match of the Day on a Saturday night, they say referee a little bit wrong here, a little bit right there. Look, it's in the Welsh Premier League as well. It's in the Scottish League. It's all over Europe, right? It's no good. You know, 90% of the times, right, and a couple of boys might disagree with me, right, but it evens itself out, right? They usually, you can't be wrong all the time about the red cards, can you? They will get one or two wrong, right? But they'll get seven out of ten usually, right? Or 8 out of 10, like a footballer. You know, you'll have 7 or 8 good games, you might have 2 bad games. But petty reds, right? Petty yellows usually cost reds. And every manager will tell you, right, it annoys them because you don't win many games when the red cards come around.
Now, Kamar then, who we tipped for perhaps a higher place at the start of the season, they've got a win. I suppose Neil Smothers will be delighted that it's a battling win. Let's hear from him first.
It's been a long time coming. So I thought we played well, or we defended well against Cardiff Met last week. Now to follow it up with 3 points, it makes a big difference, you know, to the players, their mentality, because they work hard week in, week out. So it is finally nice to get 3 points on the board.
Yeah, and 4 excellent goals, I thought.
Yeah, we're a threat. You know, when we go forward, we've got players who are threatening behind. We've got players who can come in short. We've got players who are decent in the air. So we were a threat. And yeah, so delighted to get the goals. Obviously the second one just for half time, which gives you a nice little cushion. But yeah, I was happy with the way that the boys played up in the top end of the field.
Excellent. But then we conceded 3 from set pieces, really, didn't we?
Yeah. And that's one thing that I put on the board before the game. We put a couple of points up, and yeah, set pieces was one. So to concede 3 obviously is disappointing. 2 penalties were, you know, I couldn't see the second one, if I'm being honest, because it was a bit of a melee. But look, it is what it is. We haven't conceded a penalty all season, and now we've conceded 2. So let's just hope that puts a tin hat on how many we concede.
And Jonah, that battling win they take to host the Druids this Saturday, is for both of these sides. Is it about persevering for 90 minutes? Is that been an Achilles heel?
Yeah, I think it'll be a great game. It's the game I'll be at this Saturday. Carmarthen and the Druids. Druids need a win. Carmarthen want to keep it going. Tell you what, by the way, Mac, after just watching the highlights just now, surely the veteran centre-back Lee Sermon's overhead fly kick to set up Leon Thomas got to bring another 200 supporters to the ground. Sermon's been playing 15 years in this league, right? He's tried that 1,000 times, and you can tell him from me, right, it's never come off, right? But this time it's came off, so that has to be one of the highlights of the season. The centre back went up, fly kicking an overhead kick onto Liam Thomas's head and getting a goal. So we'll want a bit of more of that Saturday, please, if we're there. But no, it'll be a great game. It's Carmarthen scoring 4 at home. They got a good home record, don't forget. Hughie'll be gutted that Jamie Davis was right through on goals to go 2-0 ahead against Newtown on the weekend, which would have secured the points. It gets saved and they go up the other end and score Newtown. So it's a big game. It's a massive game this Saturday. Usually you look through the fixtures and you think Carmarthen and Kevin Druids, okay, you know, just ticks a box, but this is a double tick because it's so important to both clubs.
And again, Newtown are trying to chase that pack as well and be part of that pack. Llanelli, both home and away at the moment, are letting in goals, unfortunately. It seems they're starting to drift a bit.
Yeah, they are, a little bit, yeah. But I think we said this a couple of weeks ago, and then all of a sudden they had a win. If they were to get a win Saturday, they'd be back in the pack. So it's not too early yet. They are. Listen, there's no doubt they're struggling a little bit squad-wise. We all know that... you know, they were low on numbers, we think, squad-wise on Saturday. And again, you know, the sending-offs have cost them in the long run. But I'd like to hope, you know, I hope they get back together now strong. They've taken their hiding. They won't be the only one to take a hiding at the likes of Connors Key or TNS, by the way. But they just got to come back stronger and see if they can get a win and get back in the race. They're not out of it, far from out of it. You know, let's don't cast them astray, because I think they're 3 or 4 points away, that's all.
Well, this is the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Weber and Jonah. Still to come, Nathaniel Cup semi-final news, no less, and a look into the mind of a media officer.
My name is Ruth Crump, Secretary of Ballartown Football Club. You are listening to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Jonah and Weber.
So, a lot of people in this world do their bit for the Welsh Premier League. We hear from them quite a lot. One people we don't hear from now and again is the media officers, the people who make sure the information gets out. Very crucial in a league which arguably is quite underreported in life. Let's hear from one of them now. Her name is Hannah Gwensley and she is the media manager at Ballytown.
Over the last couple of years, it's gone from not being just a match day job. It's a 7 days a week, 24/7 sort of job. Starting from putting match previews out, club news, building up to the game, and then obviously all the match day reporting, and then all the stuff that comes with it, sending to the papers, editing photos. There's a lot of stuff to do between everything.
And you do the website as well?
Yes, the website takes a big chunk of my time, but it's all worth it. You know, there's a lot of traffic comes through. All our social media has grown over the last couple of years, so yeah.
How did you first become Ballytown's media officer then?
Well, I was in year seven at Ysgol Berwyn, and we were doing websites at the time. And the club, we'd just started getting involved. My dad was involved and started bringing me along. And they wanted someone to build a website. So I said, I'm learning it at school. I'll give it a go. And it just started from there with four websites down the line. And we're still going strong. So when we were in the Cymru Alliance, obviously asked then, shall I start writing reports? And because I used to love English in school. And it just grew from there, really.
You mentioned your dad.
Yes.
But it's not just your father and yourself who are involved in the football club. It's a genuinely family affair.
Yeah, me and my dad are now club directors. My mum is involved in the hospitality and Naomi is club photographer. So, yeah, we're quite involved.
And Naomi's had some success with the photographs as well.
Yeah, she's won twice. She's won Photo of the Year, which, yeah, there's been a couple of times we thought, oh, this is a fix, you know. She went against the photo with AIK of Stuart Jones throwing a throw-in and the famous Beluga photo coming down against Airbus as well. So, yeah, she's at a uni at the minute, but when she can, she comes back and takes match photos for me as well.
Every time I bump into you, you're smiling. So yeah. You obviously get something out of your role with the club.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely love it. It's given... Ballard's only a small place. There's not much to do. And, you know, after finishing school, and I didn't go to uni because I stayed at home and started my own business, and the football gave me a big focus, and our life revolves around it now as well.
Ballard have obviously had a few European adventures, but yes. I suppose the day for you was winning that JD Welsh Cup.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That, if I could relive any day, it would be that one. I'm just, from the minute Kieran Smith scored our winning goal, I don't remember anything till full time. There was a lot of pacing. But no, it was definitely one of the highlights of being involved in. You know, we were talking before the game, thinking if we don't get a hammering, we'll be more than happy, but it was a dream come true.
And Ballard for the past few seasons have been there or thereabouts.
Yes,
in the title race. But this year, the league is very much open, isn't it?
Oh, it's probably the most exciting it's ever been, especially since Ballard have been here. And, you know, it can't go anywhere. TNS, you know, maybe not as strong as they have been. Connorskey have proper given it a good go. We'd like to still be there and thereabouts if we can, but we know it's going to be tough. Newton and Barry are obviously flying as well. You can't rule out clubs like Carnarvon as well. They've had a blinder and everyone's taking points off each other. It's well worth getting involved in the league this season.
And whatever happens, Hannah Gwynllian will have a smile on her face.
Well, I hope so anyway, especially if we get 3 points.
Jonah, you know how hard Hannah works. And we're also going to say at this point a special thank you to a media officer that just left us at Newtown, Johnny Drury. He's been running the Twitter feed and doing the interviews and everything for quite a while at that club. He's moved on to bigger and better things, if you can call Telford United bigger and better. And we've got a lot to thank you for us enlightening us in the ways of Newtown.
Yes, well done, John. Good luck in your next venture. We are disappointed that you're leaving us because, you know, you've been a great advocate for the league. But, you know, the likes of Hannah, they're great. The small committee at Ballard, and every time you go there, you get a brilliant welcome off her and the likes of Ruth, you know, Ruth Crump and everybody. I've got to watch this because I might not get a cup of tea elsewhere, but they're top draw for a cup of tea and biscuits with eat before your game. They're always there. And, everybody, how important are the committee people? You only have to ask a manager who's been... You don't know how important they are until you actually are a manager. Then you've got to go through the nitty-gritty of what happens at the club and you find out how important them people are. So, yeah, well done, Hannah, and the likes of all the media officers at every club and keep it going.
Other media officers are available. There we go, the fireworks have come back for Hannah. Excellent, right. Nathaniel, Cup news. We've watched some exciting ties so far this season and we're now down to the semi-finals. Friday night, November the 23rd, 7:45, Cambrian and Clinic hosting the New Saints. And you've got to say the fact that it is at home in the Rond of Cambrian Clinic gives them, or I would say, the best edge out of the remaining teams in the league.
Well, that'll be the firework night in the Rhondda this year. That will. They will be waiting for TNS to come down. They know that they'll respect TNS immensely because I was there the night they beat Newtown last week and they said semi-finals. And a lot of them, believe it or not, that said we wouldn't mind TNS at home on a Friday night because it's a great, you know, for them to have the best non-league team who have played in Wales for the last 10 seasons at their ground is a tremendous achievement. And it'll almost be like a final as a semi-final. But they're not bad at all, Mark. They're good. They're well drilled by Dane Williams and Lee Matthews, an old player of mine, great midfielder. And they're, you know, they're a good young side. And they'll be a match. Listen, Mark, they've beaten Barry, they've beaten Aberystwyth, and they've beaten Newtown. And in them 90-minute periods against the top three teams who are in the top six, they've conceded one goal in 90-minute period. So they're obviously a decent outfit. And I should imagine there'll be four figures there at least on the Friday evening to welcome the current holders who've won it, by the way. I think it's 6 times in a row, Max, so it's going to take some taking off of them, but great event.
Well, absolutely, it would put them in a massive advantage, but we have to mention the other final, of course, the day later, Saturday, November the 24th, a 2:30 kick-off, Connors Key Nomads at Cardiff Met, and we cannot underestimate, firstly, Connors Key's absolute desire to go for the quadruple. They're still in the quadruple, and then Cardiff Met, well, at the moment, not really fighting in the top two or top three of this league, so maybe feel that this might be their one and only chance of silverware.
Well, I think you've just said it all. You know, you've just said it all. You've done your homework there, obviously. The top, they're in four competitions, Connors Key. And as long as they're in four competitions at this level of football, they'll be within, you know, close favouritism of the competitions they're in. So their chances are, that, you know, who knows. But the Met, they're in a... Their season's been most probably the same as the Welsh Premier's season so far this year. It's been unpredictable. But on their day, when they click, the Met can beat anybody, and that'll be their hope on the day that they could go to Connors Key, which is a tough place to go. Two different footballing styles sometimes, but the Met will think they can win. Connors Key will think they can win, so that'll be a great semi-fun. I'm really pleased. Look, it's on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be... It's just not a... You know, it's not, it won't go under the radar, and this competition now is getting the credit it deserves.
Oh, there we go then. Fireworks everywhere. There's certainly fireworks in the league, and I don't even think we're anywhere near the end of discussing a title challenge yet. I think we've got at least a few weeks to go for it. One final thought from you, Jonah, though. This is something I mulled with a manager who shall remain nameless this week. Is it harder for Connors Key Nomads to win the title than it is for TNS to lose it? As in, I think it's easy to lose a title if you're not off your ball, but I just think that sometimes Connors Key Nomads need 6 or 9 points ahead of TNS to be absolutely sure they're going to be in the running come the split.
Yeah, my only answer to that, Mark, right, and this is it's not the greatest answer, but it's a footballing answer, right? There's 30 games, right, or 32 games to win it, right? So over the duration of the 32 games, right, whether you win it or not, whoever ends up winning it, however you get there, is the best team. And whoever comes second is the second best team. So, yeah, they'll have their mind games now. Can we do it? Can't we do it? Will TNS have to hand it to us? But if TNS have gone through a dodgy period and they end up winners, they're deserved winners. If Barry surprised like Leicester City a few years ago, if they were to win it, they're winners. And the same goes for Connors Key. If they were to win the league, right, and all the boys will tell you exactly the same thing. When you go to presentations at the end of the year, they'll say, we could have done this, we could have done that. When you pick that trophy up, whoever picks that trophy up is a deserved winner.
Brilliant. Well, we'll soon find out. Plenty more football before we get to that sort of domain. As ever, Jonah, a nice privilege. Thank you very much for talking to us, and you keep this spinning the Catherine wheel, mate.
Mark, down in this neck of the woods, we can only afford sparklers. Thank you.
That's a magic number.